Michael Day, legend of the estate agency industry, been in it since 1975, yet still cutting edge. What's your personal opinion on the self-employed model of estate agencies? You know, with Keller Williams, with EXP, they seem to be rifling all over it. Is it the hot topic? Talk to me.
It's undoubtedly a hot topic. It's undoubtedly a fast-growing part of the market currently. We're seeing a lot of people step out of traditional employed models into that type of environment. But I think we will see quite a considerable amount of churn in that sector of the market until it settles down and establishes itself, not just from the point of view with the public, but for individuals as well.
And when you say churn, are we talking about people going in and putting their toe in and coming out, or just churning between the models?
No, I think churn the individuals themselves. A lot of people have gone into that thinking that they're going to see a better work-life balance, for example. Nothing wrong with that as an ideal. And then they find that if they're successful, actually their work-life balance becomes perhaps even more difficult. So I think there are those type of issues. I also feel that some of the models that have come in, of course, most of them are from America in terms of their sort of origination. Their understanding of the market over here isn't so great. As you know, I do a lot of work in the compliance arena, and some of the elements of compliance are not as robust, in my view, as they could be, as to who the consumer is actually dealing with. So you've got the umbrella company, and then you've got usually an independent limited company or whatever operating as a business. And it's very important that that clarification as to who the consumer is dealing with from a redress point of view, from compliance with money laundering and other regulation, that is clear. And that's evolving.
Do you think it's appropriate that some models incentivize their existing brokers with kickbacks and shares of commission to bring other people on?
Well, I think the thing about that, you can understand why it's done to try and grow their network as quickly as possible. I think the downside that I see with it is that a lot of these guys are spending more time trying to find another person to come and join the organisation than they are actually out there farming and winning business and actually doing sales. And I think that contributes to the fairly high level of churn that's there. I do feel that the model will evolve. I don't think it's, you know, I don't think it's a 5-minute wonder. We saw 25 years ago the arrival of people like Century 21 into the UK, and they didn't last. And the franchise model really didn't work then. You could argue that it was partly down to the level of fees and whatever. We now have a very well-established franchise model in the UK, lots of very successful franchise operations. I think the same will happen with the self-employed model. But I think we've got to go through a few hurdles and some water under the bridge yet.
If you were setting up a self-employed estate agency model today, how would you set it up?
I think I wouldn't. Okay, I'll be perfectly honest, at this moment in time, it's not a model I would. But if I was looking to try and create that environment, I think it would be with a much, much closer control from the centre over some of the key elements. A lot of these guys are let loose and they're out there, and I'm not sure that there's sufficient checks and balances.
What about, let's say I'm running an estate agency branch, a couple of branches, and I'm thinking a great way to grow is the self-employed model. What would your advice be to your agent clients then?
Well, I think if you're starting from that position, so you've already got an established business, and we're seeing this, of course, happening as a way of growing, I think they're probably in a better starting position in some respects, because they've already probably got a track record of operating in the industry, the systems and processes and that in place that they can replicate. I think far harder to start on a remote only model.
But surely if you are setting up, a lot of people might do it just to try and save money. Is it a saving money exercise, this self-employed model?
Not if it damages your reputation, it isn't. It's an extremely expensive model. So it's a bit like franchising. You know, it's all very well getting people on board and whatever. That sounds great, particularly if you're not actually paying them. But of course, if they're not doing anything or whatever, that's potentially damaging your reputation. So I think these are some of the lessons that people might learn the hard way. But if it's done well, absolutely no reason why it can't work. But I do feel that those operations that still operate as a company rather than a series of individuals will benefit the most.
And what would your final piece of advice be to someone who's considering going into self-employed estate agency under one of these banners? What would your personal advice be to those?
Think very carefully. I'm a great believer in planning of everything and having a business plan. Some of these operations are not providing perhaps enough support in terms of business planning. You need to be prepared for not earning any money for possibly quite a considerable period of time. I set up my own agency back in 2003, and at the time I budgeted not to have any income for 5 months. It was seven before I saw any income. That was two more months of running a traditional, well, it was a hybrid type estate agency model. So even on a self-employed basis, and in today's market with the bluntly, the transaction times taking a long time, you're probably looking at 6 to 9 months without any income. So one needs to be financially able to ride that. Plus, one needs to be able to go out and win the business. You might be a great estate agent, but you've still got to be able to start from scratch. You can't nick your former employer's database, not unless you want to end up in the courts. So somehow you've got to actually have a plan for going there.
Yes, because there's plenty of people out there are great at converting the free val, but haven't generated their own vals for a few years because they've been too good
Absolutely.
At that converting.
Absolutely.
And I've seen so many golden boys and golden girls, especially golden boys, who've gone out there thinking, well, you know, I'm a great estate agent. No, you're a great converter. You're not a great estate agent.
And of course, in some businesses, they may have been a lister. So fine, they go out and list, but they're not actually used to selling property and seeing a sale through to completion. And in a self-employed type model, you're probably going to have to do the whole
So not only do you have to, you might be good at converting, but you need to go and get the val in the first place. And then you also need to revisit your negotiating techniques to get, and then get it through to sell.
One of the horrifying things in the industry still is the lack of knowledge as to, for example, the conveyancing process. You know, I talk to a lot of negotiators and managers, and their understanding of that is weak. And that's why we're seeing at the moment with the stamp duty holiday and the huge increase in volumes, this misunderstanding between conveyancers and estate agents, partly because they don't understand each other's positions. It's both ways, but they don't understand each other's positions. And until we align some of those things, we will forever have that issue.
Thank you for your time today, Michael.
Cheers.